O God, we worship in your presence. You have spoken and given form and beauty to the world. You have spoken and forgiven us. You have spoken and freed us from the fear of death. You have spoken and given purpose to our lives. Speak to us now, Lord. Awaken us to the wonder and beauty of our lives. Speak and let us respond in praise and daily service. The hymn is number 41, To God Be the Glory. Will you hear the reading of the New Testament word from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 36 through 40? Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Will you pray with me? God, as we attempt to commune with you in prayer, we open ourselves to your presence with a sense of awe, a feeling of unworthiness. How is it we humans dare to consider conversing with you? We want to approach you as the holy other, the transcendent God. But then we remember that Jesus taught us to address you as Abba, Daddy, Father. So we come to you as your children who seek new direction and understanding. We come in thanksgiving for your creative power in our world, for the changing of seasons, for the beauty of the sky, for scampering squirrels and the songs of birds. We give you praise. And we thank you for the gift of life, for creating each one of us. But we are even more grateful, Father, for your recreative process made possible through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we recount what you have done for us, we become uncomfortably aware of our own failures, the irresponsible ways in which we misuse the resources that you have given us, the apathetic manner in which we view the needs of the world, our willingness to allow our culture to establish the standard of abundant living, our constant refusal to be what you've called us to be, and our insistence on being more or less than daughters and sons of yours. For these and many other failures, we ask your forgiveness. And even as we name our failures to you, we are overwhelmed by the warmth and power of your redeeming grace. Thank you. Father, we come to this time of worship seeking new insights into what it means to be chosen by you. We here at the seminary know a lot about you, Father. It is our prayer that our knowledge will not be a barrier to our experiencing your renewing, revitalizing presence in our lives. We long in the depths of our beings to truly become like children, in order that we might rejoice in the mystery, excitement, and wonder of sharing in the work of the kingdom of God in the midst of us. It is in this hope, through the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that we offer our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I am sure that you have come today with a variety of expectations. If you expected me to be nervous, I am. If you expected a great sermon, I hope that you will put that expectation aside. What I have for you is my story, my own struggle to hear and respond to God's call to me. Perhaps you will find some of it interesting because you are a part of the most recent chapter. Along with others, you have loved me into being. Your ministry to me has enabled me to minister to others. I offer my story with gratitude for who you are. I hope that you will accept it in the way that is intended, as an expression of my love. My journey has brought me to a realization of call in terms of presence. Whatever task I am asked to perform, whatever role I am expected to play, I believe that the primary call is to be present in love to ourselves, to others, and to the God who created us for love. Because of the difficulty in deciding where to begin, I decided to begin at my beginning. Before birth, I grew in concert with another. My twin sister and I were born much too early, far from medical facilities. In less than a day, she abandoned life. I survived with the aid for 6 weeks of an incubator constructed of an orange crate, lined with blankets and heated with a light bulb. I cannot explain the power of that beginning, but I know that it has affected me. I have long searched for the one who abandoned me, the one who could complete my incompleteness. Along the way, there were many clues that spoke of my imperfect fit into the mold of girlhood. Dolls failed to turn me on, but I love bikes, the faster the better, and climbing trees, and baseball. As an eighth grader, I had to take a course entitled Home Economics. That was the only F I ever got. The message I received, a girl who cannot cook and sew is more worthless than most. Except for that F, I was a good student and a good athlete. Survival for me took on the cloak of competition. Winning was all important. Good wasn't enough. I had to be the best student and the best athlete. College was pretty much a repeat of that, a drive for acceptance and belonging through winning and success, never through relationships. I learned early in life that most people cannot be trusted, that love was available on condition, that girls weren't very important, and that God was a God of judgment. I do not want to give you an entirely false picture, however. I was reared in a Christian home. I knew that my parents cared for me. My father worked long, hard hours, and my mother was committed to the children. I cannot remember a time when the church was not the central focus of our home. I joined that church when I was 12. I followed the rules religiously, and I took on the facade of righteousness. But I only knew God with a tiny portion of my mind, nothing more. When I graduated from college, I married the son of a Baptist minister. As I observed that family, I began to see a different version of the gospel. I saw love in action, but I was afraid to let them know of my need for that love. I was afraid if they knew, I would no longer be acceptable to them. I didn't want to lose the value I had found. I finally had a place where I could fit. I loved my husband. If he was happy, I was happy. A child was born and my value was enhanced. I learned to love as a mother, and it was a joyous experience.
Then Uncle Sam decided that he needed David's presence in Iceland, and I went to live with his family. That was a significant year for both of us. I learned firsthand how a pastor's family operates, the expectations, the demands, the responses to the expectations. My husband struggled during that year of isolation with his call to ministry. The next step for us was seminary, Southeastern, 15 years ago. For me, it was a time of discovery, of community, of shared struggle, a time as well of intense pressure, of learning, of studying, absorbing, and sometimes trying to figure out how we would eat that week. Mainly, though, the struggle was David's. It was his call to ministry. I was there to support that call. The one bond which seemed to exist among these struggling, imperfect persons was a desire to know and follow God's will for their lives. I was impressed with that. I wanted to be a part of it. David graduated, and we began a new direction in his journey. A year later, I experienced a crisis within myself. I realized that my life up to that point had been lived in a survival pattern, reaching for the future in order to escape the past. In my desperation, I cried to God, "Please help me. I know there is more to life than survival. I want to live, but I don't know how." The next day, a stranger came to visit me. She said she had come to listen. For the first time in my life, I found myself revealing to another person my damaged condition. I shared with her my guilt and the shame of my worthlessness. She offered only acceptance and love. It was a new beginning for me. Learning to love and accept myself has been a slow, painful process. I have discovered that the treasure for which I searched is within. My oppressors have not been men and the system, though certainly some men and some systems have denied me freedom. And I do not want you to hear by that any denial of the need for human liberation. I do not believe that God intends for anyone to enjoy freedom at the expense of another. That is destructive for both the oppressed and the oppressor. But my greatest oppressor has been fear. The fear of success as much as failure, the fear of claiming my gifts as much as the fear that I had none, the fear of indecision as well as decision, more of the decisions, the fear of emotional closeness as much as the fear of rejection. I am my past. I am all that I have ever been, all that I have ever experienced. I am a compilation of all of the persons who have ever touched me, for good or evil. I am who I am, not in spite of my past, but because of it. I choose to claim who I am so that I can be all I am for ministry. Only in that way am I able to be present to others in love. Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to visit you?" "Truly I say to you," he answered them, "as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me." You have communicated God's grace to me, one of the least of these, with your loving presence. My husband, you let me go so that I could find my way home. You have taught me courage. My daughter, you have played Martha's role so that I could be Mary, and that is no small gift. And others of you, my friends, have ministered to me. You accepted me as a partner. Your belief in me has helped me to believe in others. You stood with me when I had to make a tough decision. Your understanding has enabled me to understand others. You listened to my pain, and you told me that I could never be so damaged that you would not love me. You freed me to hear the pain of others. You cried with me in my grief, and when the pain went beyond words or tears, you held my hand in silence. You have taught me that sometimes the touch of presence alone is the only way to care. You shared my struggle to grow, and you affirmed me in that struggle. Now I can affirm others. You prayed for me until my eyes were open to the miracles all about me. Now I see the miracle in you every day. He calls us to be present to others as you have been present to me. But the highest calling is this: to be present in heart and mind and spirit to the God who created us for life and then gifted us with the love of his Son so that we could have life and have it abundantly. Last fall, I experienced some physical symptoms that required a number of tests. When I went to the health center that day to hear the results, I remember feeling a deep sense of loneliness. And I asked God to please let there be no one there today that I would know, because I did not feel like talking or listening. I went in and sat down in an empty waiting room. And after only a moment, a young girl of about 3 came down the hall. She had on glasses and pigtails and a purple sucker in her right hand. And she came into the room and she said to me, "That is a beautiful dress." That got my attention. And I said, "Thank you. This is my favorite dress. I'm glad you like it." And she came a little closer and she said, "Are you a nice lady?" And I said, "Yes, I think I am." And she reached up and put her arms around my neck, the sucker in my hair, and she kissed me on the cheek and she said, "I like nice people." God touched me and took away my loneliness. He reminded me that he is present in every event and that ministry is more than doing for others. Ministry is receiving what others have to offer. He has offered the gift of his love. He asks only that we receive it with loving arms. The God who can take an ugly worm and transform it into the fragile winged beauty of a butterfly can mend our brokenness, heal our deepest wounds, and transform our weakness into his strength. The call to love him is the call above all others. Let us be present today to the God who is love. Pray with me. O God, you have created us and recreated us with love. We want to love you as you have commanded. Thank you for the Savior who has shown the way. It is through his name that we celebrate your presence today in our lives.